The Norfolk Record Office is running a 3-year social history project called Unlocking Our Sound Heritage, which is restoring historic records and making them available online so we can all listen. Carolyn meets sound designer Helen Atkinson, who shares some archive clips revealing how much life in Norwich has changed.
Helen, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us about your work as a sound designer and a really fascinating social history project you're involved in.
Oh, yes. So the Norfolk Records Office is currently working on a project called Unlocking Our Sound Heritage. Basically, they are working with the British Library, funded by the National Lottery Heritage Fund. And there's 10 national hubs across the whole of the UK. And they're basically digitising over 100,000 recordings that are on obsolete formats and digitising them so they'll be available for people to listen to online. And it's a big project that's happening over 3 years. And the Norfolk Records Office is the hub for the East of England.
So. Ah, and how did you get involved in the project?
I basically found out about the Unlocking Our Sound Heritage and thought it sounded really interesting. And being a sound designer, I was sort of went to them and sort of asked them if they wanted me to do anything to help them out. And they said, here, listen to all these recordings from King Street. And so I went and listened to all the recordings and they were like, what do you want to do with them? What could we do? You know, there's so endless possibilities of what you could do with such a rich source of recordings.
Yes. Initially, you set up a guided walk, which I've been on, and it really brings King Street to life.
Yes. So basically, there's a part of the archive that's held at the Record Office is called the Norwich Oral History Archive. And it's basically a collection of 16 hours worth of recordings that were made in the late 80s by a couple of different people, but mainly by this company called the Norwich Community Workshop, which were a charity that looked after people in disadvantaged situations, basically.
They started with just a chance conversation, I think.
Yeah, so basically there's sort of two people who are like the key people in this story. There's Pat Daniels, who was a lady who was working for the council and for the Labour Party, and she was working with Norwich Community Workshop as an administrator, and also she was voluntarily recording people herself. And there was Andrew Cohen, who was a recent graduate from UEA, and he stood on the steps of City Hall and he bumped into Snowy Fulcher, who is one of the people who are in the recordings, and he just started talking to him, and Snowy started telling him about his life in Norwich, and Andrew said to him, oh, I'd love to hear more. And so he said, come back to mine and I'll tell you some more. And then it went from there, really. And then Andrew applied for funding from local charities and for typewriter, cassettes, cassette tape player, so that he could then record stories of people's lives. And I think he just wanted to do it so that there was a record and so that people could come and listen to these things. He had no overarching objective. And then he met Pat Daniels and she introduced him to the Norwich Community Workshop. And then they then gave him some official funding and they gave him a little cottage around the back of Dragon's Hall, where he could sort of set up his operation from. And then for a year, he went out and recorded all of the sort of elderly generation who had lived on King Street in the early 1900s about their lives and about how King Street was and what was there. Because King Street, now we know it as possibly the red light district of Norwich, a little bit run down, lots of building work happening there. And that's how we see it. But in the early 1900s, there was a tram that ran down the street and there was shops and businesses. There were two breweries. There was Reed's Flour Mill. You had Coleman's factory at the end. You know, you had 30 pubs up and down the street and you had people living in these tiny yards, hundreds of people living in these sort of spaces around the back of houses, you know. And they'd probably have one up, one down, and limited washing facilities, limited toilet. Probably, they maybe didn't even have an oven. They'd take their dinner to the bakery to be cooked. on a Sunday when they wanted a Sunday lunch, mainly ate bread and dripping, bread and jam, and that's about it. So, you know, very different from the life that we have today. That was their life and that's how they knew it. So it's kind of interesting to walk down King Street, which feels very desolate now, whereas before it was a thriving community, basically. Yes, when you go down King Street, there is one yard which has been restored and it's now where people live and there's some businesses there. And we went in there, didn't we, on our walk to feel what it was like. But on average, it probably would have been about 140, 150 people living there. So if you imagine there's a mother and a father and they have 14 kids, or they're sort of packing them in there, you know.
It was unimaginable if you compare it with our lifestyles today.
Yes. And if you imagine in the middle of that space, there would have been toilets and there would have been a wash house and the women would have taken turns to do their washing. So very much living on top of each other. So, yeah, so it was interesting. But, I mean, the most important thing about the walk that we did, it's about actually not me telling you what King Street was like, because I didn't live there, but it's about the people who were there telling you what King Street was like. So that's mainly what the walk is about. We talk a bit about what's there now and what was there in the past, but mainly it's listening to them telling you what their lives were like living in that street at that time. I'll introduce who they are and mention what they're going to talk about. The first one we'll listen to is three different people talking, and they're just talking about the kind of games that they used to play as children. So you've got Jack Reed, Ivy Robinson and Agnes Davies.
You know, all around King Street, come to play in King Street. The kids did, you know. Top and whip. All those games. Hoopla, you know. If you get an old car tire or bottle tire, hoopla. Hopscotch on the pavements. You could play on the pavements because there's no traffic way to hurt you, you know, sort of thing. So, cigarette cards up against the wall.
Used to play skip rope. Go for little walks. Play marbles, something like that. Five stones, all them kind of games. Hide and seek.
You'd go to the vegetable shops or fruit shops and you'd ask them for a bit of orange root. Well, their oranges used to come in boxes in those days and there'd be orange root round when they picked them up. And, of course, they used to give you the orange root and you'd knot that all together and then you'd find a nice lamppost and... the boys, or if a girl was able to, she'd shin up the old post, take the ends of the arm and swing that on there, and then you'd sit on the rope. Mind you, that used to cut your backside to pieces, but then you'd swing round the lamp post. But oh, that used to be a good game, swinging round the lamp post.
Let me play you another recording. This one is Snowy Fulcher talking. He didn't actually live on King Street itself. I'll explain a little bit, but the project, the Norwich Oral History Archive, it focused on several topics. It was the floods, life in Norwich, World War One, World War Two, boot and shoe industry, and then King Street. But he has such brilliant things to say. He lived just off King Street, but he has good memories of King Street as well. So here he is, just telling you a little bit about his diet.
So what was your diet like?
Your diet?
Bread and dripping.
Bread and dripping, bread and jam, bread and dripping. And Sunday, mother would might make a cake. Currant buns, yes, you'd have currant buns. During the war, I told you, at the end of the war, I remember the biscuits they brought out, same as the soldiers had in the trenches, I remember them, and they were like giant dog biscuits, square dog biscuits. And they were hard, they were so hard you'd have to break them with a hammer. Of course, in them days, we were always hungry, and everybody was hungry, no matter whether rich or poor, you were always hungry, never got enough. We used to go after hawthorn berries. Berries, we fondly imagined they were tasted of butter, but were, as far as I can remember, they were just really horrible, but we were glad to get them. We used to find all the horse chestnut trees, and we used to pull the flowers off the horse chestnuts. The flower, at the end of the flower, there's a little drop of honey. See, we used to suck these, take a pocket full of these to school with us. Beech nuts, we used to go after beech nuts and get two or three pockets full of them and eat them. I have eaten acorns when I was hungry.
Well, I guess one of the interesting things is the fact that The building that we all know as Dragon Hall, which is now the Writers' Centre, was originally built in 1427 by Robert Topes, and it was built for trade. It was built as a trading house. They used to bring goods in, take goods out from there via the river. But in 1900s, it was known as Old Barge Yard, and there was a pub there, and there was about 150 people living in the yard itself behind Dragon Hall. And there was, along the front, there was a butcher's, there was a general store, there was a vicarage with some vicars living in it. So, you know, the building had many, many purposes back then. This one, which is a long description, but I'll just pay a little bit of this one, which is James Gosling, who lived at number 20 Barge Yard, just telling you a little bit about the kind of people that were there.
Well, we went down that yard, down Old Barge Yard, when I must have been about four. I was born 1909, so that made me 76.
Yeah.
That's when my mother got married again. And I lived next to the Old Barge. Ours was 20 Old Barge Yard. Our house joined the Old Barge. Next to Mr. Aiden's house, Mr. Aiden, he used to be was a family by the name of Marshall. Mm. Now, that was interesting. Old Freddie, we were great friends, Freddie and I. Now, his father was blind. And do you know what his job was? Well, of course you wouldn't. Chopping wood. Amazing, wasn't it?
And he never had an accident?
No, he used to fit it. I've seen him outside his own house, his outside of his door, when he used to bring some of this wood on for his own fire. And he'd sit there, and he'd feel his wood like this, you know? And he'd feel other's wood. And he'd go, God, you know? Yeah, he used to make us cringe, you know? But nevertheless, that was his job. And then from there was Mr. Hibbert. And I'll tell you something about Mr. Hibbert. We used to go there on a Sunday morning, not every Sunday morning, and he'd sit on a stool and we'd go and have a haircut. And he had his shears, he used to oil them, and he'd start from there, and he used to work this here. Leave a little bit on the front here, a little bush. And then he'd go up this way, and that's all it was. He'd go straight over, leave this little bush up there, and it's a bare penny.
And then another little description. It's just a description of the yards.
There was 14 houses up this yard, and you just compare those. There's 14 houses, and there was, if they averaged at least three of them a piece, I mean to say there was 14 houses, 3, 4, 20. There's 42 people living in 14 houses. With one tap, one communal dustbin, and three toilets, side by side, with a wall in front of them, just as a man private.
So that's a selection of the recordings, but there are lots of other recordings as well, and some of them are about World War, some of them are about just living conditions, people's jobs, what they did, working in the shoe industry, working in the breweries. Because there were two breweries on King Street.
So you're going to develop these recordings through many different projects in the future.
The Unlocking Our Sound Heritage and the Norfolk Records Office are really keen to make sure people hear these recordings. Plus, they've got many other recordings about, like, Scott of the Antarctica, steam whistles of the century, and there's lots of BBC archive and lots of other things in their archive, and Gressingham Hall archive as well. And they want to basically get it out there, let people know about it, let people hear it, because it's really fascinating when you listen to it. They've got an event on the 4th of December, which is going to be using these King Street recordings again, and I can find out more details about that for you.
Thank you.
And they're going to do further project, like it's about the World War, and clips about the boot and shoe trade, I think will be really interesting. Yeah. This project in particular is very much about King Street and about people on it. But, you know, there'd be many more projects to come, I think, on the same vein.
Helen, thank you so much for sharing this fascinating piece of social history with us.
You're welcome.
Today. And I wonder if we could, just to sign off, is to listen to the gentleman singing, if we could.
Yes, this is Snowy again. And this is Snowy Fulcher singing a song he knows about Bungay.
When first I come from Bungay town, they called I the Bungay Raja. They asked I o'er and o'er again if I would be a soldier.
They asked I o'er and o'er again if I would take a shilling. God bless it, I will have a try to show that I be willing. With the follow holiday, a follow holiday, follow holiday till I get home. Must I told a very spear, as hungry as a hunter. The officer, he came round, are there any complaints, sir? Then up jumps I and shouted, yes, what with this old shilling? So dirty old knives and a dirty old fork, and I'm always last, sir, with the follow holiday, a follow holiday, follow holiday till I get home.
Carolyn Wood was talking to sound designer Helen Atkinson. For more information about Unlocking Our Sound Heritage, visit www.archives.norfolk.gov.uk.